We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
So this morning, I'm going to be preaching to you about the Holy Spirit, and I want to talk, you know, many of you came during the conference this past week, and you received a powerful touch from the Lord, or maybe multiple nights you received a touch from the Lord, and I want to talk a bit before I have Evangelist Sam come up here and share. I want to talk a little bit about the purpose of the touch, because how many of you know that when God's presence comes into your life, when you have an encounter with Almighty God, that it's not just so that you can quake, bake, and roll around the floor and laugh and cry and have a good time in church. There's a purpose for that. God is doing a work on the inside of you. God is coming on the inside, cleaning things out, taking things out, putting things in, and then that is for an eternal purpose so that God can use you here on earth. I remember that, you know, when I was a teenager, this might shock some of you unless you remember me as a teenager, but I used to have a bit of an anger problem. And as I just pressed into the things of God, as I got hungry for God and I pressed into the presence of God during services like our encounter week that we just had, where you come in time and time again and you get in the presence of God and you get saturated in God's presence, that God was just taking things out of me that didn't belong there. One of those things was anger. I used to be an angry little man. You can ask my older brother if he, when my brothers would pick on me and get me upset, man, I turned into this vicious little guy, and I would pick whatever up I could and either hit them with it or throw it at them. You know, I was a baseball pitcher, so I used to be able to, I mean, I still can throw pretty good, but back then I was really good. And so I remember this one time, my older brother, he had gotten me so mad that I ran, we were outside playing in the backyard over by the wood pile, so I picked up this big hunk of firewood and he took off running away from me. And it was like the perfect pass in an NFL football game, but I threw this big hunk of wood, and he was running as fast as he could, and it socked him right in the back of the head, just knocked him straight to the ground. Man, I'm telling you, as funny as that is, I had an anger problem, okay? You know, no normal teenager would do something like that, and that wasn't the only time that I'd done that. I believe there was another time where I sent him to the hospital because I hit him in the head with a rock. There was different things that I was very expressive with my anger, okay? I was very passionate, okay, when I got angry, and sometimes I would even feel like I was losing control. Like I knew that I shouldn't be doing that. It was almost like something came over me and I didn't like it. I didn't want it, but I would get so much anger built up on the inside of me that I would just freak out. But thank God I don't have that problem anymore, because as I pressed into the presence of God, as I was coming into services week after week, Sunday after Sunday, Sunday night after Sunday night, week in, week out, going further into the presence of God, that He began to pull these things out of me. You know, Pastor Ben talked about that a little bit this week, talking about the fire of God and the refiner's fire, and how when you get into the presence of God, the fire comes and it begins to just burn things out of your heart that don't belong there. And many of you began to experience that this week, where you got into the presence of God, and then God starts putting things on your heart like, hey, you might need to change this area. Thankfully, sometimes God will just simply take things out of you, but sometimes there's things that we have to work out. That's why the Bible says to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Some things we actually have to do where we have to work on our character, but it's through the help of the Holy Spirit. He makes it easy. You know, when you experience conviction of the Holy Ghost, it never hurts. It never feels bad. You're just like, yeah, you're so right, God. I totally need to change that. Have you guys ever experienced that, where you got in the presence of God and He just gently put something on your heart? This is an area that I need to work on in my life. I know that that's happened to me time and time again. And when that's happening, it's because you're getting saturated in the presence of God. The more time that you spend in God's presence, the more you'll become like Him. The more time that I spend with my wife, the more I become like her. We finish our sentences sometimes. I'll be talking, she'll be talking, we say the same thing at the exact same time. The more you spend time with someone, the more you become like them. And if you'll do that in the presence of God, if you'll press in with a hunger and passion to the things of God and say, God, come touch me, change me, use me, do whatever you need to do in my life, I'm telling you, He will, and He'll begin to use you. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to talk first about Peter, because Peter is a great example of someone that was pretty much a complete loser, and then he got turned into something really awesome. And, I mean, you guys might be wondering, like, are you allowed to call Peter a loser? Well, I mean, I'm kind of just kidding around, all right? But We're going to see that he actually made some failures in his life while he was spending time with Jesus before he got filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Once you get filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit, that's when things really begin to change in your life. Maybe you grew up in a church where you're told that the presence of Jesus, the filling of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, all of that's evil. But I'm telling you that when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you begin to start speaking in tongues. It starts stirring up your faith. It starts changing things on the inside of you. And you start becoming more like God. How is that evil? I've never met someone that got filled with the Holy Spirit, got started praying in tongues, and then went out and decided to murder somebody that night. Maybe I've never heard of that. I've never heard of someone that said, yeah, you know, I got filled with the Holy Spirit at church last night. Man, it was so awesome. The presence of God washed over me. I was crying, and then I started speaking in tongues. It was so awesome that I went out to the bar, and I just got rip-roaring drunk afterwards. Never. Never heard of that. And yet there's churches and ministers that'll tell you that being filled with the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, it's from the devil. I really question if they have any clue what they're talking about. In fact, I know that they don't, because in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, I'm going to read it in a minute, when the Holy Spirit fell, it was a blessing to them. It comes to empower you to do something with your life, not to make you into a worse person, not to make you evil, not to fill you with the devil, all right? So let's look at Peter. Before he got filled with the Holy Spirit, Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 21, it says, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter," good old Peter, good old Pete, "then Peter took him aside." I mean, he's like, "Jesus, come here, I need to talk to you." Think about the audacity of that. I mean, just prior to this, he just had said, or Jesus asked the question, "Who do people say that I am?" And they said, "Some people say you're Elijah, some people say you're a prophet, some people say this, some people say that." And then Peter said, and then he asked, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Son of God." He had this revelation, and then Jesus says to him, "Blessed are you, Peter Bar-Jonah, and on this rock, on this revelation, that the church will be built." So he just says that to him, "Peter, awesome. That is amazing that you had this revelation." I mean, Jesus was so proud of his disciple. This here is just a few sentences later. "Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him." What? Think about that. Rebuking Jesus. "Jesus, hey, we need to have a little talk here. I don't really know what you're thinking or what you're talking about, but you're starting to talk crazy." Imagine that. He just had the revelation, "Jesus, you're the Son of God." You would think that if you had the revelation that this is God incarnate, this is Jesus, this is God on earth, that it might not be the smartest thing to take him aside and rebuke him. What are you thinking? I don't know. But that was Peter before he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So, verse 23, "But he," talking about Jesus, turned and said to Jesus, "Get behind me, Satan." Whew, Jesus, that's a little harsh. Man, sometimes, you know, religion portrays this picture of Jesus, kind of like that one, you know, I mean, where it's just like, you know, Jesus, and I mean, I wish that, oh, there it is, Jesus with the lamb. Turn around and look at that. We got Jesus with the lamb on the window. I mean, Jesus just sitting there nicely with the lamb, so gentle. Oh, so sweet little Jesus. He's just so kind and sweet. Meanwhile, here he's talking to Peter, and he says, "Peter, get behind me, Satan." Imagine if I came up to one of you and I called you Satan. "Get behind me, Satan." Like, come on, that doesn't seem very Jesus-like, all right? But religion is always trying to portray a false image of who Jesus really was. Jesus was a man on a mission. Jesus was a man in charge, and he wasn't going to put up with no garbage from his disciples or from the devil. So he says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God." Now, of course, we know that he was actually talking to the Spirit that caused Peter to say that. Peter was still being used by the devil. How many of you guys know that it's not good if you're being used by the devil? Do any of you guys want to be used by the devil? I hope not. So even though he was talking to the spirit behind him and he was talking to Satan, this man was being used by Satan. Now, if I had Jesus, I just have the revelation, "Jesus, you're the Son of God. You're so good. You're almighty. You're all powerful." The next sentence where Jesus was rebuking me, calling me Satan, saying, "Get behind me," man, I would crawl under a rock. I'd be like, "Jesus, I just can't hang out with you anymore. I'm no good. I'm nobody. Just, I'm so sorry. I clearly have failed you. You know, you would feel this small, right? I mean, that's about as big as a failure as you can get in the ministry when Jesus calls you Satan, right? Have any of you ever been called Satan by Jesus? Have you ever had Jesus appear to you in a vision and he's just like, Sam, you're Satan. Get behind me. Absolutely not. I mean, I hope not. I hope that hasn't happened to you. To me, that's about as big of a failure as it can get in your walk with God. So let's look at what else happens in Peter's life. John chapter 18, verse 17. Then the servant girl, all right, a servant girl. You guys, I know you're turning there in your Bibles, but remember this, a servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, this is as Jesus is being taken into the council and they're about to crucify him, and Peter's kind of, you know, sticking around the crowd trying to see what's going on. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, you are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? And he said, I am not. Denial number one to a little servant girl. Now Simon Peter, this is verse 25, skip down to verse 25. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, you are not also one of his disciples, are you? He denied it and said, I am not. Verse 26, one of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, I mean, try and say that five times fast, said, did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the rooster crowed. So here, Peter, he'd just been with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, I mean, what a great privilege for Jesus to ask you to be one of the few people that as he spent time in prayer right before he sweat drops of blood. I mean, he's there with Jesus at his most crucial time. He's there for him. That same night is when Peter denies Jesus three times to a pack of Girl Scouts. I mean, come on. Here he is, Peter, spent 3 years along the side of along Jesus' side as Jesus is performing miracles. He was there when Jesus prayed and the fish and loaves multiplied to 5,000 people, again to 4,000. He was there when Jesus was healing all these people. He was there when Jesus was restoring people's sight and giving hearing to the deaf. He was there when he raised the dead. He was there for all of it. And here he is denying Jesus to a servant girl, to the high priest servant, and to some other dude. Imagine that. Absolute failure. Absolute failure. That's about as bad as it can get. All right. But as I said, that is before he received power from the Holy Ghost. You know, from before you receive the Holy Ghost, you're really just a mess. I mean, but before you receive the presence of Almighty God on the inside of you, when God is living in your heart, you might be something like Peter, where one day you're like feeling on high, cloud nine, God loves me. The next day you're denying him. One day you're absolutely in love with him. The next day you're taking him aside to rebuke him. I mean, you might be kind of wishy-washy, but man, when the power of God comes in your life, when you get filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit, you'll be changed forever. And that is what has been happening here this week. I believe all week long as people were coming to the presence of God, that people were getting changed by the power of God that will never be the same again in Jesus' name. So Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Whoa. Man, I'm excited. Some of you guys got to get excited this morning. God is good. All right. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. I guess I didn't really give you anything that great to be excited about yet. I'm just talking about how Peter's a loser, right? This should give you something to be excited about. All right, Acts chapter 1 and 8. But you, he was talking to the disciples, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Amen. So this is Jesus talking to the disciples. Jesus had been raised from the dead, and here he is. He's just about to ascend into heaven, and this is what he tells the disciples. Go wait in Jerusalem, and you will be endued with power from on high when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But if you actually read the Gospels, it says after Jesus was raised from the dead in the Gospels, not in the book of Acts, it says that he breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And these are the apostles, the 12 apostles that had been with Jesus that whole time. And now here they are, hanging out with Jesus again. Peter had been restored. And you would think that, you know, after everything that they've been through, they were there when Jesus rose, and they had dinner with Jesus after he rose from the dead. You would think that that would be enough. Now they're like, we know absolutely that Jesus is Almighty God. I may have denied you three times before, but I know now. I mean, you rose from the dead, and here I am eating fish and bread with you. I know that you're God Almighty, and I'll never question you again. You would think that would be enough for them to go out and shake the world, right? But clearly it wasn't, because he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You see, these disciples, it says in the Gospels that Jesus had already breathed the Holy Spirit upon them, that the Holy Spirit was in them. But it's a difference when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, when you get submerged in the power of the Holy Ghost, and that comes upon you for a purpose. Again, not just to roll across the floor here to shake, bake, and have a roll and whatever you want to do. Have a shake, have a roll, you know, all the stuff that happens in a wild, crazy Pentecostal service, which, I mean, that's happened to me before. I can't tell you the number of times where the power gods came so strong on me that I just was shaking uncontrollably, fell on the ground, laughing, crying, the whole nine, all of it. But if all it is just about coming to get a touch and then doing nothing but coming back next week to get a touch, you know, going out working 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, not telling anyone about Jesus, but just, you know, man, that was so awesome that I experienced the presence of God, and I can't wait for another touch this Sunday. I can't wait back to come Wednesday night. I can't wait for next year encounter God. Man, that's going to be so good. If that's all it is, then we're missing something. Because Jesus said that the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you to cause you to be a witness. First in Jerusalem, in the area that you live in. Then in Samaria, or in all Judea, the surrounding area. Then in Samaria, the town, the distant nearby places. Maybe Pennsylvania. Then around all the world, God is going to use you. And today it's even easier than ever. You don't even have to leave Waterport to be able to be heard all around the world. You just got to get on social media. You can preach the gospel from your living room in Brockport, New York, and have someone listen to you preach in Africa. It's easier than ever. So, and when you become empowered from on high, you might be thinking to yourself, well, how can God use me, just little old me? You know, I used to think that. You know, Pastor Ben was here sharing all week, and he was sharing how, you know, he was the quiet guy in class, and he was the guy that was shy. Now, I wasn't quiet in class. I was always cracking jokes and stuff, but when it came to being in front of a crowd and to public speaking, I was terrified. You know, I mean, if you heard some of my first sermons, man, I was scared. I was nervous, even to get up in front of a few people. But as you begin to press into the things of God, as you begin to get hungry and desperate, you get empowered from on high to be a witness. To be a witness. Say that, to be a witness. To be a witness. That's what the power comes for. It comes for a purpose. And you don't have to be called into full-time ministry. You can be a witness at the job. You can be a witness at the grocery store. You can be a witness in your home. You can be a witness everywhere that you go. Because people should see Jesus in your eyes. They should feel Jesus in your touch, and they should hear Jesus in your voice. That everywhere you go, that they know that you're carrying something, that there's something different about this individual. That person seems happy. Everyone else that they come across that day might have just been grumpy, frowning, complaining, but then they come around you and they just hear you talking about, man, God is so good. They're going to notice there's a difference. Because you're empowered to be a witness. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly, say suddenly. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Sometimes when the power of the Holy Spirit comes, it comes with a sound of a mighty rushing wind. It might be noised abroad where people actually begin to hear noise. They begin to wonder what is going on in that place. I went to this Pentecostal church service, Encounter God 2017, and there was some noise in that place. It wasn't like a normal church service. Everyone wasn't quiet. There wasn't stand up, sit down, kneel. Everyone, shh, real quiet. No interruptions. No amen. Don't shout hallelujah. Don't stand up. Don't just shh. We're in church. Very calm. All right? You're sitting there in service, and all of a sudden someone busts out lasting, shh, being disrespectful. The man's trying to say something. Man, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes, there's a mighty rushing wind, and it is noised abroad. It's not quiet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Verse 3, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were all filled. You see, up to this point, Peter knew about the Holy Spirit because he saw the Spirit working in Jesus' life. He was around Jesus when Jesus was doing these miracles. He was there with Jesus, seeing the power of the Holy Spirit working, but there's a difference to see it at work than opposed to being filled with the Holy Spirit. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, something will happen on the inside of you. And we're about to see what little old Peter here, the man who kept failing for Jesus, what happens in his life after he's been empowered with the power of the Holy Spirit. And there, dwelling in Jerusalem, verse 5, were Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, you hear that? When this sound occurred, there is a sound when the presence of God comes. The multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in their own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each one in our own language, which we were born? Verse 11, the middle of verse 11, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? What is this? Man, some people might have come to the church this week, and they come in here and they see people laying on the floor. They see people laughing, crying, praying in the Holy Ghost. They see these things, and I guarantee there were some people that said, whatever could this mean? Whatever could this mean? This is not like the church I grew up in. This looks crazy to me. I was warned about this. I shared one of the nights how I had a friend who was coming to our church growing up, got hit with the power of God, radically changed his life, but his church, his denomination, convinced him that it was of the devil. Because they, when they see and they hear about that thing, when they hear about the power of the Holy Ghost activated in someone's life, they begin to question something like, whatever could this mean? They don't understand it. And they try and rationalize it in their mind. You'll never be able to rationalize God in your mind. You know, if you're hungry for the Spirit of God, if you're hungry for a touch from heaven, it comes from your heart, not your mind. As long as you're staying in your mind, you'll never really be able to receive. As long as you're trying to fit God inside your little noodle, it's not going to work. You have to get outside of your head and develop a hunger from your heart. You have to get hungry and thirsty, and then you shall be filled. Not just a mental assent like, yeah, God, that would be okay if you did that for me. No, God, I need you. God, come fill me. Come touch me, Lord. You have to get hungry. You know, otherwise you might just sit there and you look at other people getting touched. You look at other people laughing. You look at other people crying. And you might wonder, why is everyone else getting it but not me? Man, that was me for a long time. I remember being in Bible school at the River of Tampa Bay Church with Pastor Rodney Howard Brown. When he preaches, like, the whole crowd is like in an uproar. People laughing, falling under their seats, crying, everything. And I would look around sometimes, and I had already experienced the power of God in my life at that point, but I didn't understand the whole laughing thing, and I would look around at people laughing, and I'm like, why am I not getting it? You know, I'd look at them laughing and just trying to see, like, is that really real? And the reason that I wasn't getting it is because I was trying to do it here, up here, in Pastor Jeremiah's noodle. You're wondering, what is the noodle? You know, you look at brains, looks like noodles. Okay, never mind, guys. But, you know, but that's why it's called a noodle, all right? So, but you can't fit God up here. You can't figure out joy of the Holy Ghost. You can't figure out speaking in tongues. You can't figure out the presence of God. You can't figure out why when people answer an altar call that they just start weeping and crying and shaking. You can't figure it out in your mind. And unless you're willing to give that up, you'll never get all that God has for you. Unless you're willing to say, God, I can't figure this out, but Lord, it looks good. They look happy. I need that. Whatever that guy has over there, whatever he's being filled with, he looks so happy. She looks so full of joy. She has peace. She's receiving a miracle. I don't understand it, God, but I need it. I need it, God. And then you'll get it. You'll get it because it's all about hunger. It's all about yielding. Yielding from your heart. The Bible says, from your belly shall flow rivers of living water. The belly referring to your heart. Not from your mind will flow rivers of living water. So if you're here and you've been trying to figure out what is all this business about, it's not going to happen in your head. It's going to happen in your heart. So Peter's sermon, verse 14, but Peter, this is Peter that just denied Jesus three times to a Girl Scout, to a servant, and to somebody else that doesn't matter. This is Peter that just took Jesus aside and rebuked him and was rebuked by Jesus and called Satan. This is Peter here standing up after he had received power from on high, after he had been filled with the Holy Spirit. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them. See, people think that church needs to be quiet, right? But doesn't it just say that Peter raised his voice? That doesn't sound quiet, right? Sometimes you raise your voice when you're preaching. Peter raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it was only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Peter, and I could read through the rest of the chapter, but I'm not going to for the sake of time. Peter gets up and preaches to these people. Little old Peter that kept failing, denying Jesus to a little servant girl. This is Peter now standing up with a loud voice, proclaiming the gospel to a crowd of people. And you can read through the end of the chapter where it said that men were pierced in their hearts and they asked, what must we do to be saved? And 3,000 people got saved. Because when the power of Almighty God comes inside of you, it's to empower you to be a witness. It's to be empowered to be used by God. And some of you guys that have been saturated in the presence of God all week long are going to notice that you're going to start to be used by God more effectively, where before maybe it was a struggle to be used by God, now it's going to be easy. I'm telling you, when you're plugged into the Holy Ghost, it's not difficult to serve God. It makes it easy, because Jesus didn't say that when you come to me that I'm going to put a heavy burden on your back. I'm going to put you in yokes and put you in bondage and make it hard for you to serve me. Stand up, sit down, sing this, sing that, repeat this, repeat that, and you have no clue what you're saying. That's what religion tries to do. But man, when you're fully in love with Jesus, you might not ever understand everything. It's not 2 + 2 = 4. It's not science, but you know it here. You know that somehow God came into my life and God totally changed me. God filled me with his presence and I'm never going to be the same again. It's not a mental thing. It's from your heart. And that's what happened to Peter. And I miss verse 13 where it says, others mocking said, they are full of new wine. That's what people in the world think. They think that we're absolutely crazy. That's what religious people think. That Holy Spirit business, that's just craziness. That's just from the devil. That's wrong. Here, these guys have just been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't read the Bible, Acts chapter 2, and deny that it says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. But the reaction from everybody else that didn't understand was, these guys are drunk. They were mocked. These guys are drunk with new wine. And people might mock you and say, you go down to that church where they laugh, where they cry, where they fall on the ground, and that's just crazy. But that's what they said about Peter and James and John and the other 12 disciples. That's what they said about the 120 in the upper room that day. But when they came out of that upper room and Peter stood up and preached, 3,000 people got saved. He was empowered to be a witness. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up to the temple together at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple called Beautiful to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, Peter, again, Peter that failed miserably for Jesus, Peter that denied Jesus, Peter that rebuked Jesus, pulled him aside and rebuked him. This same Peter looks at him, fixing his eyes on him with John. Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand. He took him and picked him up. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. You know, Peter could have said, stand up in the name of Jesus. And when the man didn't stand up, he might have been thinking, man, Jesus, I thought I just received your power, and this guy, he didn't stand up. No, he didn't settle. He picked him up. He said, get up, stand up on your feet. And then he grabbed him and made him stand up. And when he did, that man's faith was activated, and boom, he received a miracle. And then what happens? They go into the temple. He's walking, leaping, praising God, shouting, have a revival service. Look at that. When God comes and touches you, this guy wasn't quiet about it. It says that he was walking, leaping, and praising God. I'm going to show you what that looks like. Hallelujah! Walking, leaping, praising God. Some of you might think, Pastor Jeremiah made himself look like an idiot. Do you think that guy cared that he looked like an idiot? He just received the power to walk. Been laying there for years, asking people for money as they walk by. People probably spitting on him, kicking dirt at him. Think about that, just laying there on the ground begging. You don't care what you look like. You don't care what you sound like when God comes and touches you. Man, thank you, Jesus. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. He didn't care. There's probably a crowd of people wondering what on earth is going on. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. When you get filled with the presence of God, when you have a miracle in your life, people are going to begin to wonder what happened to you. They're going to be amazed at what happened to you. Why are you so happy? Why are you smiling? Didn't you hear about the economy? Didn't you hear about the terrorist attack? Didn't you hear about this? Didn't you hear about that? Don't you know the flu's going around and you're just happy? And they're like, there's something wrong with this guy, I swear. There's something wrong with this lady. She has no reason in the natural to be happy. But you had an encounter in the presence of Jesus. You had an encounter with the Holy Ghost. Verse 11, now the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John. All the people ran together to touch them in the porch, which is called Solomon's. Greatly amazed. They were greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? And he goes on to preach Jesus to them. The rest of that chapter, you can read his sermon. But this is little old Peter denying Jesus to a little girl, a little servant girl. And now, the moment that miracle happens, and he sees this crowd coming together, he doesn't think to himself, man, this day was awesome. Let's go home and celebrate. He sees the crowd gathering together, and he preaches the gospel to them. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Man, when the Holy Spirit comes in you, when he fills you, you will not be ashamed. You'll look for opportunities to share the power of God with other people. You might have been one of those people that previously called those Holy Spirit churches, those Pentecostal churches, crazy. And now you're going to be someone that's used to go out and bring people in to say, look what I've experienced. Look at my life. God is so good. And people are just going to look and they're going to see something in your face. And they're going to know. I don't know what that is. It's not the religion I've been told about. It's not the Jesus I've been told about my whole life. But whatever he's got, whatever she's got, I need that. Chapter 4, verse 5, and it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and as many were of the family of the high priest, all the important people were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in their midst, they asked them, by what power or by what name have you done this? Talking about this man who had just received this miracle. The man that had been begging at the gate beautiful for his whole life. And now they're wondering, how did you do this? Then Peter, again, Peter, the failure. Peter, the one who denied Jesus. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Then Peter, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you can't stay quiet anymore. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll begin to speak out and tell people about Jesus. You might have been timid. You might have been quiet. But after this week, after today, you will not be in Jesus' name when you get filled with the presence of Jesus. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all." I'm about to tell you what's up, people. "And to all you people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone, nor is there salvation in any other." He didn't say, "You guys can keep doing what you want and stay saved. You can stay in the religion that you're at. You can stay doing what you want." No, he's talking to a crowd of all the top religious people of that day. And he said, "There's not salvation in any other name." He challenged their very beliefs. He challenged everything that those people believed, because those people weren't believers in Jesus. And he said, "There's only one way to be saved, the name of Jesus. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Verse 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus." They realized that they had been with Jesus. This is just some little guy from Waterport, New York. You know, I mean, what good comes out of Waterport, New York, right? Man, but people realize you're from Jesus. You're just some little lady from Brockport, New York. You're just some guy from wherever you're from. But you might have these excuses as to why you can't become something great. But they marveled at him. They marveled because they saw that they were uneducated and ignorant. But yet, they knew that they had been Jesus. They marveled at what was happening. That these people, they didn't have religious training, because he was standing in front of the high priest, in front of all these rulers who trained. They knew the Old Testament backwards and forwards. They could quote it. They could recite it. They could do it backwards and forwards. They knew it all. And yet they knew that there was something different about them. And what was that difference? That they had been with Jesus. They didn't say that, though, about Peter until he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But once he had been filled, empowered, endued with power from on high, that's when they notice that guy's been with Jesus. Maybe you've been attending church your whole life, and you've always wanted God to use you. You've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. And you've always wondered, why doesn't it seem like people are asking me about Jesus? Why doesn't it seem like people are wondering? You know, I hear about people telling testimonies where people say, you know, there's something different about you. Why hasn't anyone asked me that? Well, let me ask you, have you been in the presence of Jesus? Because when you do, when you get filled with the power from heaven, filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, people will be amazed, they'll wonder, they'll ask you, what's so different about you? I know there's something. And whatever it is, I need that. Hallelujah. I know that many of you have already received that touch this week, but today is going to be no different. From this week forward, your life will never be the same again. From this day forward, you are going to go out and radically change this world, empowered from on high.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.